both small and great.
The Lord God reigns in majesty.
Send thee help from the sanctuary,
and strengthen thee out of Zion.
Confession. and this our corporate confession. Father God,
Ezra of old fell to his knees and confessed,
O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers, we have been in great trespass unto this day. Likewise, Lord, your servant Daniel confessed, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and thy judgments. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. And so, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let us arise together and hear the good news. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Thanks be to God, our sins are forgiven.
Down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in his own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go to my Father, to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Times you think I'm going to call this Palm Sunday? Okay, I am going to begin here today with a just taking a poll here by a raised hand here. Who may be familiar with car patrol? In Sunday school, I mentioned that you people need to get out a little more. Who knows about car patrol? Anybody by a raised hand? A couple of hands there. Yeah. Okay. We're going to mention that a little bit later on in the sermon, so you guys wait for that, OK? okay? It's not going to come right away, but you wait for that. I saw some hands over here in the middle and over there. Great. Hey, last time out, we took a brief excursion into the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek, and we saw there the precision of the Greek language, which revealed the vast difference that we find in the meaning of Judas being numbered. Remember, we were in Acts chapter 1, and the apostles were trying to figure out what we're going to do, and Judas, who originally was numbered, the Bible says, with the 12, and then he was replaced by Matthias, and it says he was numbered. And so in their English translations, it sounds like they were both numbered, and that's what we get in the English. But when we looked at the Greek, we saw that, wow, there is a vast difference of wordage, word usage there, and the one word had to do with arithmeo was right in there. That's the word we get arithmetic from. And the other word, the one that was Judas, by the way, he was given a number, we might say. And Matthias was numbered, but in the Greek language, that referred to a pebble. And again, they're both counted, and in the ancient world, pebbles were used for counting, and you see those apparatuses where people have little pebbles on strings and they count things. So they were both counted, but that pebble had biblical significance because those who are overcomers, as we read the book of Revelation, those that are overcomers receive a white stone. And within that stone, there's a name written, a new name written. And so we can look at that and we can say, boy, you know, this precise Greek language, really has great benefits for us. In English, we hear that they are both numbered. Well, Judas got a number. But Matthias got a name. He got that stone. And that's our inheritance if we're overcomers as well. That was last week. And Matthias was enrolled and chosen and given that new name. Today our exploration is not in the Greek language, it's going to be in the Hebrew language, which is the language of the Old Testament. It's going to be far less taxing than it was last week, and yet it will be every bit of significance as we get a glimpse. We had read for us from Ezekiel this idea of the four winds of the Spirit. The fullness of the four winds of Pentecost. Our text is Ezekiel, and Ezekiel in chapter 37. I just want to read verse 9 and we'll pray. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these that are slain, that they may live. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this, your word, this passage, the other passages we'll look at. We are thankful how they all come together in showing us how the message of Jesus is exported to all the world, coming even from the four corners of the earth. Oh Lord, help us to see this and to celebrate it on this Pentecost Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. The ultimate fulfillment of this passage is Pentecost. The ultimate fulfillment of Ezekiel 37, you know this passage very well, the Valley of the Dry Bones. It has an immediate fulfillment with the nation of Israel, for sure, but its ultimate fulfillment is Pentecost, where life is breathed into the dead, and the dead end up alive. If you're familiar with the liturgical collect for today, which is a prayer connected with today, the liturgical collect for today opens like this. Almighty God, on this day, you open the way of eternal life. You open the way of eternal life to every nation and every race. And the collect goes on to, it continues to go on referencing the gift of the Holy Spirit and preaching to reach, quote, the ends of the earth. Every nation, every race, to the ends of the earth. All peoples.
every race, every nation, every tongue.
What did we read in Acts in chapter 5? In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 5 there? Interesting. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men. Did you ever see this before? Out of every nation under heaven. Every nation. What is more is that the languages are no more. It's not just that representatives from every nation were there, but the language barrier is gone. It is no more. And so no wonder that the Collect says that the way is open to every nation and every race, to the ends of the earth. Not only were the representatives there, but the language barrier is gone. How do I know that? In verse 6, and we had this read for us. Because every man heard them speak in his own language. In verses 7 and 8, they were amazed, they marveled, saying one to another, we know where these guys are from. How is it in verse 8 that we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? You see, the way is open. Even to Cretans. And I could rehearse for you what the Bible says about Cretans later on in the New Testament. You know, you talk about lowlifes, I mean, that's how they were depicted. And to Arabians, where do we see that? Closing out the whole list of all of the nations represented there. We see Cretans and Arabians, we hear them speak, and here it is confirmed again for the third time repeated, we hear them speak in our tongues, and then it says we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. The significance of that verse is that it tells us not only of the medium of language that real languages were spoken and given to all of those representatives from every nation under heaven. So it reveals in verse 11 there, not only that medium of language, that's the vehicle that God uses, but it also shows us the very message of God himself. The message itself. What did they hear? They heard the wonderful works of God. Tongues was not just about being able to communicate with each other. Oh, what do you think of the gasoline prices? People speaking that kind of language in their own tongue. Not just about being able to communicate. Oh, did you see what happened to Bitcoin this week? Not about that. Not only the medium of language, but the message, the wonderful works of God. It was a means. It was the means to communicate. That's what language is. But it is also the message of the priceless gift of salvation. What was voiced were not mere words that everybody could understand, but the wonderful works of God. The priceless gift of salvation. And so first, I want us to talk about, we'll get back to the medium of language, but first I want to talk about that message. And that message is Jesus. And the idea that sending Jesus is the greatest of the wonderful works of God that he has done throughout history, in all of history. Where do we see that? In our gospel lesson, in John in chapter 15. How do we see that that's the message there? When the Comforter has come, I will send. What is the role and the function of the Holy Spirit? It's vast. It's expansive. I get it. But Jesus tells us here principally, it's that he will testify of me. He will testify of me. If we look further in our gospel lesson, if we were to look at chapter 16 and then verse 14, we see something very, very similar. Does the Spirit do us a lot of things, tells us about things that will be and all of that? But look at this opening clause here of verse 14. He shall glorify me. It's not only about people's ability to communicate. It's about the wonderful works of God. And the most incredible, wonderful work of God is sending his Son, Jesus.
I've said this before here. You know, you can go to places and they're all about the Holy Spirit, and they're talking about the Holy Spirit. One of the things that you can be sure about, if all they are talking about is the Holy Spirit, they're not being filled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit testifies of Christ. The Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. And you can know a Spirit-filled church because Jesus is exalted. And he's exported. The message of Pentecost is the exporting of the message of Jesus. The medium for that is the gift of tongues and languages that come with the bestowing of the Holy Spirit upon us. But the message is Jesus. If we were to look further in our New Testament reading here in Acts in chapter 2 and look at the very last verse that we looked at there in verse 21, it says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Unquestionably, this is about Jesus. And how is that filled out in this passage? Look at verse 22, the very next verse. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. The medium, the language is the medium. The message is Jesus. So we had verse 22, furthermore about Jesus. How about verse 23? Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and you have crucified and slain. This whole passage is about Jesus. Look really quickly just at verse 32. This Jesus has God raised up. Wherefore we are all witnesses. How about the last verse here? Verse 36, it says, wherefore let all the house of Israel know that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Pentecost is about the exporting of the message of Jesus, the most wonderful of the works of God. And they heard it in their own language. And so if we miss this, we miss him and we miss everything. And because Jesus is everything, I want you to think about this. At Pentecost, God is giving us everything he's got. That's reason to celebrate. God is giving us everything he's got, and it's everything we need. But what about this medium, this gift of languages here? What is it about this fullness of the four winds of Pentecost? That lectionary colloquy was and is correct. This was God's opening the way of eternal life to every nation and race, to the ends of the earth. I want you to think about this. One little factoid here. We don't think about it because we're so far removed from it, not only in time, but in significance. The world that they were living in versus the world that we are living in now. Think about this. The mere fact that the New Testament is not written in Hebrew is monumental. All through history prior to this, God communicated to his people, identified as such because he communicated to them in their language. The fact that the New Testament is not written in Hebrew all by itself is an earthquake. That a major shift is going on here. It is astounding that the New Testament is not written in Hebrew. This is astounding because it signals that the Jews are no longer his priesthood people. They're not going to be exclusively the dispensers of it through their language. A whole new medium is taking place here. We've already talked what the message is. It's all about Jesus, but that medium is going to be through the gift of languages. And it's not just Hebrew. The Jews, no longer his priesthood people. Think about that. Their language was everything. It was everything. It was their world. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 11, everybody is hearing in their own language. The whole list of languages there. I want to say something. For those of you who know about Car Patrol, what happened on Pentecost was not Car Patrol. If you know Car Patrol, it's a kid's little story there, and you know there are these cars and they're kind of superheroes. They come to rescue whatever distress is taking place in their little Car Patrol town or whatever it is, and they go out on these assignments, and they you know, it's a very, very positive thing to go and rescue things. But what ends up happening in Car Patrol is these cars, and there's like three or four maybe, you know, main characters, and they mumble, and they do this gibberish, and somebody is translating for them. Somebody's narrating what's really going on. And so the kids can kind of follow this story. But if all you really had was the mumbling and the gibberish, you wouldn't be able to follow the story. The narrator is there. This is not Car Patrol, what happened at Pentecost. It's not gibberish. It's not people mumbling, and there's no interpretation, no need for it. At Pentecost, people are hearing it in their own language. The language in which they were born. Real languages. No need for interpretations there. No need for narration there. Let me further say this. As I and you are testifying of Jesus in your life, biblically, you are speaking in tongues. When you're speaking in English, or you're speaking in Spanish, or you're speaking in German or in French, and not speaking in Hebrew, biblically you're speaking in tongues. Earlier, in Acts in chapter 2 and verse 5, we saw every nation, we might say from the four corners of the world. This is the ultimate fulfillment of Ezekiel 37 and 9. And so let's go back to that again. Ezekiel 37 and 9. Then he said unto me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Why do I say that this is the ultimate fulfillment? The root word for four is found 318 times in the Old Testament. 318 times the root word for four. Arba. But this word that's used here in Ezekiel 37, 9, where it says the four winds, this word occurs here in just two other places in the Old Testament. Two other places. One of them is Isaiah 11 and 12. He shall set up an ensign of the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners. That word there is the same word. It's mi arba. Four corners of the earth. And so there's this idea where in Ezekiel 37 here, which ends up finding its ultimate fulfillment on the day of Pentecost, the word for four here is used these three times total in the Old Testament, and it always means really from the whole wide world. The four corners. You know, if you remember the passage from Isaiah 11, you know that that whole passage really is about Christ and how Christ is endowed with the Spirit. If we look at verse 2, I could read this whole, this is about him being the branch, you know, and him coming into Israel. And by the way, it's that great passage about, you know, the lion laying down with the lamb and his rest shall be glorious. That's how it ends.
But in the very beginning, as it's describing the character of Jesus, he's filled with this Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
The other place in the Old Testament where this special word, Mi'arba, is found
is the next verse that I have here. It's in Jeremiah 49. And upon Elam,
and by the way, Elam is one of the places mentioned in Acts when we get to that day of Pentecost. And all those nations are listed there. The Elamites are there. That's these guys.
And upon Elam will I bring four winds from the four corners of heaven. And I will scatter them towards all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come.
What do we learn from this verse? We learn from this verse that the Spirit does the work, oftentimes in history, of scattering a people, and it is the Spirit that does the work of gathering a people. That's what's happening here. By the way, in Revelation in chapter 7 and verse 1, and you don't add this to the words in Hebrew that four means four corners, because we're in the New Testament now and this is Greek.
But this is what Revelation says. After these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding forth four winds on the earth, and the wind should not blow.
This is the Spirit of God actually protecting his people before the wrath of God is unleashed. The Spirit comes from the four corners of the earth and says, and holds back the judgment of God.
We see that in the next couple of verses here, 2 and 3 of Revelation. It says, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. I mean, we can look at this and if we know our biblical imagery well, we know that the sea is the Gentiles. We know that the land is the nation of Israel in particular. And you see the trees are the individual, right? I see men as trees. But the Spirit is sent from the four corners of the earth and says, don't do this destruction yet until I seal them in their forehead.
And so God is a God of grace. And this grace comes from the Spirit. And the Spirit comes from the four corners of the earth.
Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads.
The ultimate fulfillment of even these passages here. The ultimate fulfillment is Pentecost. God's protection is here. And the ultimate fulfillment of Pentecost has to do with all the earth, the whole earth, the exporting of Jesus to the four corners of the world. And so the fullness of the four winds of Pentecost, you know, you say Pentecost, a bunch of people, you know, way back 2,000 years ago, they're in an upper room, they're waiting. You know, it was for them. Some, you know, two-bit kind of an event. A two-bit localized event. Not at all. Rather, as Peter said in Acts 2. In Acts 2 and then in verse 16, what does Peter say? He says this about this. He says, but this is that. He knew that prophecy from Joel. This is that. And what was that prophecy? Verse 17 and 18. It shall come to pass in the last days. I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That doesn't sound like some two-bit localized event. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. The pouring out of the Spirit, just as Jesus promised, is what took place on Pentecost. And look back at our gospel lesson.
And in John chapter 16 and verse 7 and 8, what do we read? I tell you the truth. It's good for you. That's what expedient means. It's good for you. Good for you that I go away. You know, sometimes we think, oh, if Jesus was only around here. He says this is better. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Spirit won't come. But if I go, I will send him. And then in verse 8, and when he has come, and he has come, when he has come, he will reprove the world. Does that sound like a two-bit localized event? I can assure you it is not, because the Greek word, for world there is cosmos. The whole arrangement. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Brothers and sisters, the ministry of the Spirit is to the whole wide world, the cosmos. And you know what that means? That means the ministry of the Spirit is to you. And the ministry of the Spirit is to me. And he's been given to us. He's been given to us for us to be those who are the exporters of the wonderful works of God. The message of salvation given to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
Father God in heaven, we thank you for this review of this minor little word here about four winds. We might say, so what? And yet, Lord God, we see the fullness here of the effect of Pentecost. And not just the medium, not just in the languages, but in the message itself. The whole world. And Father, we stand before you as a tiny little church here, and yet your church has become these that export. Your church is this new priesthood, this new holy nation. You even call us a royal priesthood. Lord, help us to fulfill the mission that you have given to us. And Father, thank you for the comforts and the protection and the power that comes from being filled with your Spirit. And may we ever and always be those who testify of Jesus and be those who glorify Jesus. We pray that you would make it so. Amen.